The Committee on Commerce and Consumer Protection will come to order for Wednesday, March 16th, 2011. Good morning, everyone. And what we're going to do today is we're going to bring back up, first of all, the Gazelka bill from yesterday, Senate File 590. And if you'll recall, there was a disagreement over some language, and rather than move it along, we wanted to lay it over for a day so that the interested parties could come together. And Senator Gazelka is reporting back to us on if they have achieved success or not and what you've got for us. So, Senator Gazelka.
Mr. Chair, we have peace in the valley, and I'm just wondering if I can move the A2 amendment or if you want us to talk about it first.
Senator Gazelka, why don't you go ahead and just explain what it is, and then we'll put it on there. Just tell us what it is.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members, you realize that we had some issues with the how notification was going to happen. The Commerce Department expressed some concerns, and we decided to work it out, and so I'm going to let them testify about how they worked that out.
Okay. Mr. And again, Chairman, today, please identify yourselves for the record.
Yes. Bob Johnson, Insurance Federation of Minnesota. And just briefly, Mr. Chairman and committee members, I did have an opportunity to meet with Mr. Reich of the Commerce Department, and the nutshell description is that we were looking to make sure that we could, A, pick up a definition of signed for purposes of the Fair Information Practices Act. So we picked up the definition that's in the Uniform Electronic Transaction Act, current law, with the addition of written signature that preserves another option the way consumers buy. And so with that definition, we added to the definition section of the Fair Information Practices Act, and then we put in the last part of that definition is a verbal authorization in terms of the disclosures, and there's language on the amendment in Section 5 that covers that, and what we needed to do as part of that is make sure that there was a record-keeping requirement for the verbal authorization, so we picked up the record-keeping requirement out of the Uniform Electronic Transactions Act. So with those series of changes, I'm confident saying this accomplishes from a Commerce Department the record that they can have for purposes of enforcement. It accomplishes what we were looking at to make certain that we can get commerce to operate in the way that people want it to operate, consumers, in terms of buying on the internet or calling on the telephone. So I think, Mr. Chairman, this satisfies our objectives, and in talking with Senator Gazelka, and I think the Commerce Department, their enforcement objections, we believe this accomplishes all that.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any questions for Mr. Johnson? Okay. Oh, Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rest, if you could pull the microphone, too. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Gazelka, so the original Section 4 stays in the bill? There's just a new one, and then they're renumbered, Mr. Stang. Okay, that's all right. Thank you.
Okay, and Mr. Reich.
Mr. Chair, Director of Government Affairs for the Department of Commerce, John Reich, and I just wanted to say for the record that we did work with Mr. Johnson, and we are supportive of the amendment and then would support the bill with the amendment.
Okay. Any other questions from committee members? Well, then let's adopt the or let's vote on the amendment, the A2 amendment then. So Senator Gazelka moves the A2 amendment. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A2 amendment signify by saying aye.
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 And those opposed? And the motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. So now we're on the bill itself. And let me ask if there is any closing comments from Senator Gazelka.
Well, just briefly, because I know we have another big bill, but I think this will streamline the process, which is what, you know, from the insurance side of it, they want to make sure that that happens, that it's done in a way that's uniform. I think the Commerce Department's concerns for protecting the consumer are also met, and so I think in the end this is a good bill.
Okay. Then Senator Gazelka moves that Senate File 590, as amended, be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Judiciary and Public Safety. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Those opposed? And the motion prevails. And
thank
the
you,
bill
Mr. Chair.
Is passed and re-referred to the Committee on Judiciary and Public Safety. Thank you, gentlemen, for working out the differences overnight. Okay. Next on the agenda, Senator Reinert. And members, we have a lot of interest in this bill, certainly. And what I wanted to just make sure that I'm clarifying with Senator Reinert is that you want to present your bill. We had some calls in, and I believe that the proponents that you have for your presentation are going to be, Mr. John Wolfe, Louis, is it Dacus?
Dacus.
Dacus, Dave Erickson, Tom Hansen, and then also Senator John Harrington. Those are the ones that you're putting forth as your testimony. Okay. And then what we'll do is we're going to hear from opponents, and of course then we will certainly open it up for anybody else that would like to speak either in favor or in opposition to the bill. So I think that's the format we'll follow. So with that, Senator Reinert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And first off, I want to thank Senator Gazelka for his insurance bill, which drew so many people into the hearing room. So we could talk about my little non-controversial bill. Members, I'd invite you to pull the bill out. It's probably the shortest bill you will literally see this session. There's not a lot to the language. It's pretty straightforward. But Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, thank you, first of all, to Chairman Gerlach for your willingness to hear this bill. And I do also appreciate the interest by members of this committee to hear the bill. I know that some have positions staked out. Some are interested in hearing the issue. But what I got from members was a very positive, let's hear the bill and let's talk about it. You know, many of us are new to the Senate. And as been mentioned many times this session, new senators bring new eyes and ideas to the table and the opportunity to do things differently here in Minnesota. Taking a look at a law that is now over 100 years old, I think, is one such opportunity. This morning, you will hear testimony on several factors. One of those will be revenue. No one debates that allowing for Sunday sales will bring more tax revenue into the state of Minnesota. The only aspect debated is just how much. You'll hear probably some comments about public safety. There's a contention that stores being allowed to be open on Sunday will increase public safety costs. I will call your attention to two abstracts from the Minnesota Reference Library in your handouts. Members, those should be hopefully on the top of the pile. One of them is titled, Do Blue Laws Save Lives? The Effect of Sunday Alcohol Sale Bans on Fatal Vehicle Accidents. And the other, hopefully right behind it, is titled, Excise Taxes on Drinking and Cross-Border Shopping. And both of those are snippets of studies, academic studies, that are in the Minnesota Reference Library that address the public safety issue. You'll also hear from our colleague, Senator John Harrington, and former St. Paul Chief of Police, about his personal experience on this issue. Thirdly, we'll hear about increased costs. I know that the MLBA, whom, by the way, we've had lots of conversations about this, we've had a pretty open and forthright discussion back and forth, and I appreciate their openness in talking with me about this. I know that they will testify that allowing stores to be open on Sunday will actually force stores to be open on Sunday. And for many stores, that would simply mean the same amount of business spread over 7 days instead of six, with the additional overhead costs. Again, I want to be very clear that this bill would not require any store to be open. In fact, I would point out that nothing in this bill prevents a store from being closed any other day of the week that might be less profitable than being open on a Sunday. So while all these factors are part of the discussion, they are not what motivated me to bring this bill forward. My motivation is freedom in the marketplace. This bill would allow businesses the option to be open on Sundays. It would not require anyone to do so. Businesses could still choose to be closed if that's what made the most sense for their business, and customers could still choose not to make a purchase if that decision best fits their personal religion, morals, or values. So, Mr. Chairman, I look forward to a good discussion, and again, I thank you for permitting this hearing. I have three store owners who wish to testify in support of the bill. I also have, as you mentioned, Tom Hansen, who will testify on behalf of the Distilled Spirits Council, and as I mentioned, Senator John Harrington wants to comment on the issue of public safety. And, Mr. Chairman, I know he's elsewhere presenting a bill, so hopefully he'll get over here in time. So, with your permission, I would call first on Mr. Dave Erickson, who is the owner of a store in Tower, Minnesota.
Okay. And then just, Senator Reiner, just so everybody knows, when you come up to the table, if you would please identify your name for the record into the microphone so we have a record of that, and then what your business is or who you represent, if it's an organization or such, and then proceed with your testimony. So welcome to the committee. Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee members, for the opportunity to testify in support of the bill. My name is Dave Erickson. I own an on-and-off-sale liquor store in Tower, Minnesota. My family bought that liquor store 25 years ago. It was the Tower Municipal Liquors, and now it's D. Eric's Tower Liquors. I came here today to testify in support of Senator Reiner's bill because it would go a long way. On February 7th of 2010, my family instituted Sunday on-sale liquor sales, and that's gone a long way to help our business and help the local economy in Tower on beautiful Lake Vermilion. It's enabled us to hire another half-time employee, and we're looking forward to the opportunity to have off-sale liquor in the Eric's Liquor Store on Sundays, because our liquor store is a small environment of on and off sale. And throughout this past year, since February 7th of 2010, I've had hundreds, maybe even over 1,000 people come through the liquor store and ask for off sale. And every one of them people that come in, I say, can I ask where you're from? And they tell me they're from neighboring states, and states, one of those 36 states that allow off sale liquor sales on Sunday. And it kind of saddens me, number one, that I'm not going to get that off sale sale, and number two, the missed opportunity for the taxes that Minnesota may gain from out of staters coming to our state to visit. So I would urge your support in support of Senator Reinert's bill.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Erickson. Was there any questions?
Question?
Oh, yes, Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Erickson, have you spoken to the liquor stores in the surrounding area up there, and do they share your view?
Yes, they do.
Thank you.
I've not spoken to all of them, but the liquor store owners in Tower and the general vicinity between Virginia and Ely, I have, and they do support this legislation.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee members, next I would invite Louis Dachas up to the table, and then we'll have John Wolf from Chicago Lake Liquors.
Okay. Mr. Dachas, good morning, and welcome to
the committee. Hi, how are you? My name is Louis Dachas. I'm the proprietor of Merwin Liquors, and I'm a strong supporter of Sunday sales. I currently operate two retail locations in the Twin Cities area, and I'm a proud member of the MLBA. I have been since I opened my businesses. While I value the MLBA and all the hard work they do, I often have opposing views, and I'm not shy about sharing those views. While the MLBA implies that they represent their entire member base, positions opposing the Sunday sales initiative and the Surly proposal, for that matter, were made at the board level and don't reflect the strong feelings held by many, including myself. Many MLBA members, like me, favor Sunday sales legislation because we recognize Sunday as an important shopping day that regulation currently deprives our customers of. Especially in our industry, with Sunday football and family picnics where a bottle of wine or a 12-pack of beer really set a festive tone. Those fighting Sunday sales complain that this measure will spread the same amount of business over more hours, thereby increasing costs with no additional benefit. But remember, nothing requires that retailer to stay open. If they don't see the value in Sundays, allow them the choice to stay closed. The funny thing is, we faced the same issue a few years back when Minneapolis voted to move our 8 p.m. weekday closing to 10 p.m. At the time, the MLBA and some retailers were quite vocal with the same exact arguments. Today, as we look back, some of us choose to stay open until 10 p.m., and others choose to close earlier. For my Minneapolis store, the extended hours added more than 20% in additional revenue almost immediately. In my second store, weekday sales between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. represent 50% of the business on those days. Extending our hours was clearly a huge benefit to our operation and to our customers. With the luxury of hindsight, we see that the same arguments made today by the same people did not have the result they predicted. Soon after Minneapolis shifted to a 10 p.m. closing, we had swing shift workers coming in happy they didn't need to drive across town to find a store in an area that allowed retailers to remain open. This is remarkably similar to the stories we hear today about that Scani run, where you can see the revenue and tax dollars traveling across the border every day. Let those retailers who don't see Sunday as an important day stay closed, but give those of us willing to work a little harder the opportunity, and listen to our customers who are asking for you to give them this important shopping day. Providing customers with a choice to shop on Sunday updates an antiquated blue law, creates opportunity for retail store owners, and provides additional tax revenue when it's needed at no additional cost to the state. Thank you for your consideration of this important legislation. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Dodges.
Dodges.
Thanks. Any questions?
Chairman, next will be John Wolf with Chicago Lake Liquors.
Okay, welcome, Mr. Wolf.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, John Wolf. I'm the owner of Chicago Lake Liquors in South Minneapolis. I'm here in support of Senator Reinhardt's bill for Sunday sales. The present liquor law is archaic, a remnant of olden days, which are fun to read about, but not very practical when you want to run out and pick up a bottle of wine, you know, but darn it, it happens to be Sunday. This antiquated ban is out of step with the lives of most Minnesotans. With today's dual-income families, Sunday has become the second busiest shopping day of the week. At its core, this Sunday sales bill is about fairness. It's only fair for all sides to admit we already have liquor sales on Sunday in Minnesota. Bars, restaurants, XL Arena, the Guthrie, Target Field, Metrodome, convenience stores and grocery stores all can sell alcohol on Sundays. Only liquor stores are forbidden. It is illogical for a society hell-bent on reducing drunk driving to tell its citizens that they can have a drink on Sunday, but they have to drive somewhere to buy it and consume it before driving home. Thus, the argument that Sunday prohibitionism saves lives could be compelling if it were logical and true. It is illogical because only allowing alcohol sales to those who choose to drive to and from a place where they can drink flies in the face of reason. It is also untrue because virtually every study that has tested it has found no increase in alcohol-related accidents or fatalities after allowing Sunday sales. A broader analysis of the states that have repealed Sunday sales since 2002 shows that it has been a huge success both commercially and socially. It's been a convenience boon for consumers, and there's been no negative social impact. It's unfair for the state to create an uneven playing field where some types of businesses are allowed to profit from Sunday sales while others are not. It's also unfair for liquor stores in border cities to lose millions of dollars in business to their competition a few miles away in Wisconsin, Iowa, North Dakota, and South Dakota, all of which allow Sunday sales. People who want to drink on Sundays are going to do so. The only question is whether Minnesota wants to profit from it. As you are probably aware, the biggest opposition to Sunday sales comes from my fellow liquor retailers. Their chief concern is they would have to pay to staff stores for an additional day, but overall sales would not increase. They argue that the sales they generate in 6 days would end up being spread over 7 days. Let's say you follow this logic. Then why shouldn't the government prohibit the sale of consumer electronics on Tuesdays so those businesses can save a day's worth of overhead? It is an argument that is at the cross purpose with the basic tenets of capitalism. More important is the fact that liquor retailers have a choice if they want to be open. Several years ago, I sat here and then followed that with sitting in front of the Minneapolis City Council to lead an effort to allow liquor stores to be open until 10 p.m. The same retailers that are posting Sunday sales today also oppose 10 p.m. closings. Let's ask them if the increased hours have negatively affected their bottom line and if they are now open the extended hours. Other issues that I just want to address, basically, I see that members of the Teamsters are here, which I welcome, and I think there's a belief that those of us who are in favor of Sunday sales would want extended delivery hours. Deliveries would not be changed. Suppliers, distributors, hours would not be changed. We will use the existing system. I urge you to bring Minnesota into the 21st century and join the vast majority of other states in allowing Sunday sales. Thanks for your time.
Any questions? Okay, Senator Reinert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to change the order a little bit and ask Senator Harrington to speak next so that he can go back to his other duties, and then I will close with Mr. Hansen. That will be the last of my formal testifiers.
Senator Harrington, welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. How are you?
Good.
I come here wearing a slightly different hat, or it's an older hat, perhaps. For 33 years, I was a St. Paul police officer. I started my career in 1977 with St. Paul PD, worked as a patrol officer, worked as a detective, lieutenant, commander, and ultimately for the last 6 years prior to joining this august body, was chief of police for the city of St. Paul. For a number of years, I puzzled over the ban on Sunday sales. It seemed like somewhat of an archaic law that was on the books, and so we simply went along with it. It had no real effect on us in terms of the stores being closed on Sunday, because frankly, people drank on Sundays irregardless of whether there were Sunday sales or not. People drank whether they made the quick run over to Hudson from the St. Paul side. People stocked up on Saturday night, and we'd see people lugging cases of liquor out on a late Saturday night, or people simply found ways to get alcohol if they wanted them on Sundays. So there really didn't appear to be much of a change in terms of people's drinking habits on Sunday due to a lack of availability of Sunday sales, other than we would occasionally see the Super Bowl run as people made that dash across the border, but when they realized they hadn't brought enough beer for the party. And occasionally we'd have a crash coming there or back in that regard. In looking at this, I was asked the question, do I believe that Sunday sales will have an impact on law enforcement or public safety? And the answer to that question is, quite frankly, no. I do not believe there will be any negative consequence for law enforcement due to Sunday sales. Typically, when the legislature passes a bill that has public safety impact, it really hits us in one of three areas. Typically, it's a matter of training, it's a matter of scheduling, or it's a matter of technology that we have to adopt. Sunday sales will not really have any real effect on the needs for training. It simply means that the practices and procedures that we follow right now, Monday through Saturday, we will simply add to Sunday, which means we will continue to drive by liquor stores. We will continue to drive by off-sale places. We'll continue to check to make sure that the clerks are okay. But we would be doing that anyway on every other day of the week. And so it really there's no train-up that needs to happen for this particular legislation to go through. It really has no real effect on personnel either. Police departments are 24/7, 365. We work every day. We're going to be out there driving up and down those streets, checking on our businesses, checking on people, responding to accidents, responding to everything we do. And frankly, actually, Sunday is probably our quietest day of the week anyway. So if there was any increase, which I really do not believe, none of the studies that I've seen show that there will be an increase in criminal activity due to Sunday sales. It's a day that we're regularly staffed anyway, and so there really will be no personnel impact at all. And there really does not appear to be any technological impact that we're going to need to adopt a new piece of technology or a new piece of equipment to do this. So in all regards, as far as I can see, from a public safety perspective, this bill will not have any negative effect on the public safety. It will not have a negative effect of requiring more cops to do more work. It really does seem to be very neutral in terms of law enforcement's impact, and it does seem, as has been noted, to be positive on the commercial side. It does appear that it will allow businesses in Minnesota, businesses in St. Paul, to stay open on Sunday if they wish, which will allow them to generate more revenue, which is a good thing for the city, because revenue equals dollars, and those dollars eventually do trickle back into public safety among the many other services that the cities have to provide.
Questions? None? Well, Senator Harrington, then thank you. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, we really should grill the witness.
I offered up He's got an opportunity.
He's out of the chair. All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My last testifier of them is Tom Hansen with the firm of Winthrop and Weinstein, and he's here on behalf of Discus, the Distilled Spirits Council of the United States.
Mr. Chairman, members, for the record, my name is Tom Hansen, and I'm here today representing the Distilled Spirits Council of the United States. Mr. Chairman, the Vice President of Government Relations, Dale Sandrowski, was unable to be here today, so I did distribute to the committee members as well as to those in attendance a copy of his statement. I'm not going to read it. I'll leave that to you. But I just wanted to make a couple of comments as you make your decision on this bill today. And the first is, in my years around here, I've noticed that we often look to other states as kind of the laboratory of ideas of what we, whether we should do something, shouldn't do something. And in this case, I wanted to point out that since 2002, the trend seems to be towards allowing Sunday sales. And I just have a quick list. You just need to look at Colorado, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Arkansas, Delaware, Kentucky, Ohio, Idaho, Kansas, Washington, Virginia, New York, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts. And so there is a trend, but the other thing to look at, you know, we always look to other states, and those states seem to be pretty representative around the country. But we also look to, and people always say, well, yeah, that's New York, but we're in the Midwest. So you look at the states around us, North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, and Wisconsin, they allow Sunday sales. And these are states that aren't appreciably different than us. You know, we like to think, and I think we're better than them, but they're states that have generally the same type of people, same type of values, and you can make those judgments, but generally the same. And then the second and final point, as you make your decision, and Mr. Chairman, I realize you are not a finance committee, but I wanted to make a few comments about the revenue piece of this. Since I'm an old budget guy and I can't yet to purge myself of my MMB commissioner hat when I look at issues. But this is an issue that has the potential to bring in anywhere from about $1 million if you abide by the revenue note from the Department of Revenue, or $7 to $10 million. And I won't go into the details of that. But as you make your decision today, think about this issue. This is an issue where, and I look around the table, I see people that think that revenue rates should be increased as a way to balance the budget. I see people who think we should cut programs or some combination thereof. This is an opportunity for you to increase revenues, offer a solution to the $5 billion by creating increased economic activity. And that's something everybody agrees on. It is, and as you consider it, and again, this is my old budget hat, what this is anywhere from $1 million to $10 million of things that you can, less of a tax increase you got to do elsewhere, less of a program cut in human services. I just ask that look at it with that lens. And again, that's what I always do. What else are you not going to do in addition to the other, and obviously there are other policy considerations. And with that, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen. Any questions? Senator Bonoff.
Mr. Chair, not a question, just a comment. Nice to hear you put your finance commissioner hat back on and appreciate your view of looking at it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Then Senator Gazelka.
I do have a question, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hansen, I'm just curious if you can flesh out how you could get to a higher number of revenues into the state. I know the fiscal note shows less than $1 million. Can you describe why it could be more or how it could be more?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Gazelka, the difference in the amount of revenue has to do with what the assumption is for increased sales by Sundays. The Department of Revenue fiscal note, and they do my experience over the years, they do a wonderful job. But in this case, they have predicted a half 5% increase in sales based on Sunday, which then, as you take that forward, that amounts to less than $1 million. The economists at the DISCUS, the Distilled Spirits Council, have looked at the states I referenced, you know, and in particular, recent states like Pennsylvania, New York, Oregon, and Delaware have experienced a 12 to 24% increase. Colorado, who has done it, has seen a 6%. So it's very likely that the 0.5% the revenue department is predicting is probably low. You know, in particular, when you have, you know, North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, and Wisconsin on our borders, and you, there are undoubtedly people who go across on Sundays, and if you have the ability to stay in Stillwater or Hastings or wherever, Moorhead, you're going to stay in Minnesota and make that purchase.
Okay. Senator Reinert, I wanted to ask a few questions and follow up. I wanted to talk about the fiscal note a little bit more as well. If I could start off with that. And a little information for committee members that on the fiscal note, I want to make sure everybody knows that this, whatever the number is, whether it's 830,000 as the fiscal note says, or whether it was 10 million, it was in press reports or previous fiscal notes and estimates, somewhere in between there. We're going to do this bill as a standalone. If it passes this committee today, it goes to the Finance Committee. And I also should correct Mr. Hansen that we are actually a Finance Committee this year. We have several accounts within the Department of Commerce, so we will be putting together a budget and then sending that on to Finance. We will not, regardless of what happens to this bill today, we're not, or my plan is certainly not to incorporate that into any kind of an omnibus finance bill, because I know there are strong feelings on both sides of the of this issue, and if this is going to go forward, people are going to vote up or down on it based on its own merits and not linked to any other budget considerations. So,
Mr. Chairman, on that point,
rest.
I see on here taxes, taxes, taxes. Why would it go to the Finance Committee as opposed to the Tax Committee?
Senator Rest, because the although it is a these are taxes. We're not altering the rates. We're not changing anything like that. It's a everything is the
it's raising the tax revenue, Mr. Chairman.
Well, certainly it is, but
it's
that
not
is we're not changing the structure of the tax committee.
It's not an appropriation, and it's not a fee. These are taxes.
Well, Senator Rest, but again, we're not altering the tax structure at all. The tax committee hasn't requested it. The Finance Committee has. So if the tax committee wants to. But we're not changing the tax structure at all, so there's no policy consideration in the tax committee.
Mr. Chairman, that's a stretch, but, you know, you can do what you want.
I don't think it is, but the Finance Committee has requested. So the motion ultimately will be that it would go to the Finance Committee. So if I could, let's examine the numbers a little bit more, Senator Wright, because I wanted to have a little panel on that. A year ago, there was a fiscal note for $10 million. Now it's $830. Mr. Hansen talked a little bit about that and some of the assumptions, but I don't understand the dramatic change in assumptions, why it was one way and now it's a different way. Do you have some insights you could offer us on that? And then I don't know if Mr. Mueller has some that he might want to offer up as well, just so that we understand, because that's quite a gap.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would point to two things, and I think, first of all, Mr. Hansen, I feel, really addressed one of the fundamental points, and that's the assumption that there would only be a 0.5% increase in sales. That's not what other states have seen when they've gone to Sunday sales. That's certainly not what we as border communities know. I would invite you to Duluth on any Sunday, any given Sunday. Wasn't that a movie at one point? On any given Sunday, and you will see folks head over the bridge. And I'd also encourage you, anytime you travel, especially from Minnesota to Wisconsin, but this is true of our other border states as well, look at what you see when you get to the bottom of the bridge leading into that other state. And within a block or two, there's a liquor store. And those of us who know how the market works know that that just doesn't happen. There's a reason that that happens. The second thing, Mr. Chair, I would say in response to that question is I would point you to one of the assumptions made in the Department of Revenue's analysis, and that is essentially that any purchase made in a store on Sunday is a sale lost in an on-sale location in a bar. I think most of us, if we look at our own personal lives, can see that that's just a fundamentally flawed analysis. If you're getting together with friends and you're going to Old Chicago to watch the Vikings game, you're going to get together with friends and go to Old Chicago to watch the Vikings game. If you've decided that you're going to host a Super Bowl party, you're going to host a Super Bowl party. The fact that your local liquor store is now open on a Sunday does not mean that you're going to stop going to the local bar with your buddies. And that impacts the revenue forecast because the state of Minnesota, derives more revenue off a sale in a bar than it does a sale in a store. So I think those are kind of the two fundamental parts to the revenue note, at least to my way of thinking.
Okay. Okay. Other questions from committee members then? We have a few over here. Okay, let's do Senator Cruz and then Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hansen, just a quick question for you. Do you think the passage of this legislation would result in increased alcohol consumption? Now, I'm making the difference between sales and consumption.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cruz, the fiscal analysis from the Revenue Department as well as the Distilled Spirits Council estimate both agree that more alcohol will be purchased. So presumably when the people buy it, they'll drink it. So, yes.
Just Senator follow Cruz. Up to that point, Mr. Chairman. Well, and that's kind of why I was trying to draw the difference there. Has it been your experience in the past that states that pass this type of legislation are especially concerning border cities? Okay, I could see an area where you could have an increased sales without necessarily an increased consumption. So that's what my question is trying to get to the point of. Do you feel that those increased sales necessarily mean increased consumption, or are you capturing a certain amount of revenue that you were not capturing before because it was going across the border?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cruz, yes. Presumably there are a number of people in Hastings, Stillwater, Duluth, Moorhead, East Grand Forks, and a number of other cities and smaller towns on the border that instead of going across the border to buy something, stay in their home state and go down the street. And they most likely would do that. So they probably would consume the same amount they would in that case.
Mr. Chairman,
okay, go ahead.
If I could address Senator Cruz's point. Senator, I think you're exactly on the right tack. You know, it's not that additional purchases would be made in Minnesota, and those additional purchases are now being made somewhere else. You know, if you look at one of the studies I gave you that talked about cross-border shopping, it specifically addresses this point. It says if the goal is to reduce reckless behavior such as drunk driving, the more effective tactic would be a ban on Friday or Saturday sales that would also include bar sales, because that's where we have the most problematic behavior. It's not that Sunday sales would all of a sudden open a floodgate and we would have increased consumption. The consumption's already occurring. It's occurring, as former police chief, now Senator Harrington, said, in all kinds of other places, or it's occurring because people are getting in a vehicle and going somewhere to do it.
Okay. Senator Rest, question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is for Senator Reiner, not okay. For the witness.
Do we have any other questions for Mr. Hansen then? Okay, well then, thank you. We'll dismiss Mr. Hansen.
Thank you.
Thank you. And then Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Reiner, your testifiers have talked about having lots of choices, and that a liquor store could choose to be open on a Sunday or not to be open on a Sunday. And I assume the same thing is true on December 25th. And I wonder why a business could choose to be open on Christmas Day, or at least the Christmas Day is celebrated by Orthodox congregations on a different day, but they could choose to be open on Christmas Day. And why did you choose that day to exclude sales?
it would seem to me that if you were trying to choose the most important day in the Christian calendar, it would have been Easter and not Christmas. So could you explain why you have not eliminated sales on Christmas Day? A lot of people drink on Christmas Day.
Certainly. Everybody has my family, huh? Senator, as I looked at it and we tried to make decisions about where we wanted to go with this, the reason to not have sales on Christmas Day was, you know, as I looked at other industries, and this is, I think, one of the points in support of this bill, not every industry has businesses open the same hours, open the same days. There are a lot of variations. Not every grocery store is open the same day. Not every gas station is open the same day. However, Christmas Day is the one day in a lot of businesses and a lot of industries that people do remain closed out of respect for that day. Now, it happens to fit my personal faith tradition that Christmas Day is an important day. I know that that's not true for everybody, but, you know, that's the decision I made as the author of the bill.
Well, Senator Rust. Mr. Chairman, I do consider that extremely inconsistent with the basic argument of your bill, and at an appropriate time, I'm going to move to strike line 112. But not now. We'll wait until afterwards.
Okay. Right. Other questions?
Mr. Chairman, I know that there are probably others who want to testify, so.
Okay. Well, what we'll do then, if that concludes your presentation of the bill, then what I want to do is we will get everybody who wants to speak, but let's, did you have a question, Senator Jernbauer? Okay, let's do that then.
Mr. Chair, kind of thinking through this, and I've been pretty upfront with people. You know, this isn't my favorite thing in terms of I don't really have a dog in the fight on the whole argument sometimes, but I really start thinking about it, and I try to weigh out the evidence here of what each side is saying. And the one thing that comes to mind, Senator Reinert, is, you know, because I hear from a lot of my constituents, they don't want to be open on Sunday, there'll be no more business. And I said, well, you can choose to be closed, which they could. Did you compare anything such as, I mean, the big thing around town here is TCF Bank is open on Sundays, and yet no other bank is open on Sunday. And I'm wondering if people looked at that kind of a scenario to say it didn't make a difference in the other banking's industry. Did you look at that as a far stretch difference in terms of business, but I think a major player in the banking industry decided to make that choice, mm-hmm. and nobody else followed. Did you look at that scenario at all in your decision-making?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I've not personally done the industry-to-industry analysis, but I think anecdotally it's reflective of the choice that's being made. One major player did go into that market, saw an opportunity to do it, and that did not force everyone else to go into that market as well.
Okay. Senator Brown.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Reinert, while I don't I will not be voting in favor of this legislation, I do have to agree with Senator Rest in that you're kind of arguing against yourself here when you single out one day for sales, but yet argue that businesses should have the option if they want to be open or not. So while I don't support the legislation, I do agree with Senator Rest that it seems inconsistent that we would single out Christmas Day.
Okay. Then, Senator Reinert, what we'll do is we'll move to the opponents on the list. And then, since you're done with your formal presentation, then we'll come back, and anybody else that wants to add their contributions, we'll get to those as well. So why don't I – I've got on a list here of opponents, Mr. Rick Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, while I have an opportunity at the end to make some closing
absolutely.
Comments.
Great. Absolutely. Do we have – is Mr. Rick Anderson from France 44 Liquor Store here? Yes. Okay. And then also, Candace Woods from Liquor Hutch and Hutchinson. Maybe if you want to be ready as well on the list. Okay.
I guess she's ready.
She's ready. So go ahead. All right. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you very much. My name is Rick Anderson. I am the third-generation owner-operator of France 44 in Minneapolis. And I am here to testify in opposition to the bill. I hope that I can make my points clearly. There's a lot of facts, quote unquote, flying around here. But the truth of the matter is, if you survey most of, and I mean the vast majority of people in my industry, the small independent owner-operators, they would say no. Please don't do this. And you have to ask yourself, if this is a free market bill, if this is a pro-business bill, why on earth are we opposed to such a thing? The fact is, we can spell a rat, and the rat is, there's no money here. This is not going to be a winner for us. Now, the facts of the matter are, there is no lack of access. I mean, we had Senator Harrington already testify to the fact that people were getting alcohol. I think it's plainly obvious. Everyone can get alcohol on Sunday if they need to. So there's no lack of access. The consumer is not harmed here. Okay? Let's talk about Wisconsin a little bit. There are reasons why people maybe go across the border, and Wisconsin is the one everyone talks about because that seems to be mainly the place that everyone sees cars going. Well, let's talk about Wisconsin. No one can quantify even how many people are making their purchases in Wisconsin. I haven't heard anything. I would challenge anyone on the other side to provide a realistic, believable number. But even if they could, you have to question, why are the purchases happening in Wisconsin? They would like to argue that it's because we're closed on Sunday. But let's think about this. There are other reasons why people shop in a different state. I would argue a better reason might be selection or price. First of all, there are products available in Wisconsin, especially in beers, that you cannot buy in the state of Minnesota on Monday through Saturday, or even if this bill is passed, on Sunday. They're just not sold here. Secondly, maybe they're shopping across the border because of price differences. We know that Wisconsin offers lower prices on many items. It's because their taxes are lower. Their excise taxes are lower, and their costs of doing business are lower. They have less regulation in many, many aspects. They also have cheaper costs of doing business, and their insurance costs are lower. So it's no mystery why maybe some people are shopping across the border. But again, it isn't because they can't get their fix on Sunday. So what's the problem? Why are we opposed to something that we should be jumping up and thanking you for talking about? Well, the fact is, this is going to cost us money. There will not be this watershed of consumption on Sunday, right? Again, Senator Harrington, former police chief Harrington, testified that he saw people loading cases of wine on Saturday evening in their car. The fact is, Minnesota consumers are used to shopping on Friday and Saturday for their Sunday parties. Now, let's say that there is some sort of a beer emergency on a Sunday. The fact is, you do have the option. You can go to a bar or a restaurant, and a great many people probably do. You know, they probably go to that bar, that restaurant right now anyway because it's a social atmosphere. But the fact of the matter is, if you now open up the opportunity for them to buy their beer, their liquor, their wine on Sunday, I can tell you this, and you probably know this already. Prices at retail are significantly lower than prices at restaurants and bars. Significantly lower, probably about half the price. So if that's true, then how many people, and I can't quantify it, but since we're kind of making unquantified assertions anyway, let's just say how many people will now decide, instead of going and spending all that money at the sports bar, maybe they'll just stay at home. They can pick up their beer. It's an impromptu meeting. So you're going to cost sales somewhere, right? I mean, if we can say realistically there isn't going to be this watershed of consumption, then the sales are going to shift from one place or another. And I strongly dispute that it's going to shift back from Iowa or Wisconsin or Manitoba, okay? The fact is we would see traffic jams. They would be reporting on traffic conditions over the bridges on Sunday nights. And you know what? In all the years I've watched news at 10 o'clock on Sunday, I have never once seen a traffic report about what's happening on the bridges on Sunday night. So, basically, you now have liquor stores. We are accustomed to being closed on Sunday, as are our shoppers. This question of it's just a free market issue. You could now choose to be open, or you could choose to be closed. Well, let's set banking aside, because banks are financial institutions, and financial transactions happen when capital markets happen. You can go to a bank on Sunday, but your transaction doesn't post until Monday, right? So it's a different sort of thing. It's not retail. If you look at retail, I defy you to show me a retailer that isn't open any day that it can be. The fact is, we have to be open when the market says we can be open. Because if you now are moving sales around, let's say that you shift 10 to 15% of your sales from the other days of the week to Sunday. So now, as a business owner, I have to decide, am I going to forego 15% of my gross revenues so that I'm not open, or do I bite the bullet and stay open? Well, of course I'm going to bite the bullet and stay open, as is every other business owner, because we can't afford to lose 15% of our revenues. But there is a cost to this. We're going to have to staff people we didn't have to staff before. That is going to be something on the order of 2 to 3% of our net income. Net income on the business, right? Most businesses, you may not know, there's actually not a ton of money in liquor retail. That's kind of a myth. There's money. You can make a living. But nobody is getting crazy rich on this. The fact is, net revenues on a healthy business run somewhere between 3 and 5%. And that's on a healthy business. A lot of these are mom-and-pop operations. They don't have that much money to go and hire additional staff to run their stores. So really, this is not about the free market. This is anti-small business. It's saying we'll allow a few big players and an enormous industry group, which is no friend of liquor retail, I can tell you, representing billion-dollar distilleries, so they can maybe push their product another 6%. You know, good news for them. Maybe not so much good news for us small businesses, but oh well. This is the problem with this bill. And finally, where's the need? Really, if people are able to get their booze, just as been testified by a member of your own august body, why do we need to change? And again, shouldn't we be asking? Shouldn't we, the liquor store owners, be asking you to change this law for us if we really saw a profit opportunity? I mean, you have to answer that question for yourselves.
Well, some of them already just did.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Any questions? Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you share about the assertions that were talked about with regard to staying open till 10? Did you oppose that? And do you now do that? And what's that been your experience?
Well, actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because to listen to our peers on the other side, we were in lockstep opposed to 10 o'clock sales in Minneapolis. The fact of the matter is, now I'm on the board of the MLBA. I was on the board of the MLBA at that point. We took no position on that matter. The MLBA had no position on 10 p.m. sales. There were members of the MLBA who testified in opposition to 10 o'clock sales, and that's in Minneapolis, by the way. There were others in the MLBA who wanted it. The fact of the matter is, we were not in lockstep, because there was honest disagreement about whether we wanted to be open or not. Now, in my own case, I have a store in Minneapolis. I did not testify in opposition to it, and I am not open till 10. I'm open till 9, you know, so I added an hour, and that's what I did. Does it make much of a difference? Quite honestly, it hasn't made much of a difference at all. The truth is, I already had people in the store at 8 o'clock, so adding an hour for 9 o'clock was no big deal. Adding a whole new day is a totally different story. You have to open the store, and you have to close the store. And anyone who has been in small business knows there is a huge difference between a whole new day of operation and just another hour.
Senator Bonoff.
Mr. Chair, and I came from retail. My family had a chain of women's clothing stores, and I recall when we opened the malls on Sundays, and there was a lot of concern about the added cost that that was going to be on our business. And I will tell you that it turned out to be one of our best days. So our concerns were unfounded, and we were certainly glad we had that opportunity to sell on Sunday. This bill, as I understand it, really, as you've said correctly, is not being brought forward by the liquor store owners. That you're right, they are not clamoring at our doors. Who I hear from are the people I represent, and I do hear from many of them. I represent Minnetonka and Plymouth, Medicine Lake, saying they no longer appreciate the fact that they can't, you know, buy liquor on Sunday. So we sit here with many hats on. We, you know, we have to weigh all that we hear, but I appreciate your testimony and respect it.
Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Anderson. It's kind of interesting because I got just as many calls and emails from liquor store owners that wanted to be open on Sunday as didn't. And again, I've been pretty honest. I'm very mundane on this issue, but I don't think you made the right argument in terms of the TCF. To me, they decided to be open to support consumers, and I know even by making this statement, I'm going to piss off a lot of people around the Capitol. I shouldn't even say it that way, I guess, but I wish car dealers were open on Sunday because, dang it, I got to work 6 days a week. Sunday is the only day I have to go shopping, whether it's retail or for a car or anything else, and I think our blue laws are antiquated. That doesn't mean I think liquor stores should necessarily be open, but I don't think, I guess I'm not buying your argument that everybody would automatically need to be open if, and again, I'm going to use that TCF scenario, if the big TCF is open and all these little banks choose not to be open and don't feel they're losing any business, help me again through that argument that if you're not open, you're going to lose business. I don't follow your argument.
So let me try to explain it because I understand why this seems like it doesn't make any sense. But our premise is that there isn't going to be this huge additional consumption of alcohol. So that's where I'm basing this whole thing on. I do not believe that suddenly when there's Sunday sales, it's going to be like London on any given evening, okay? I just don't see that happening.
Good.
So that alcohol sales that are there are going to come from somewhere. And since I disagree that it is all coming right now going across the border to other states, I would love to see some facts on that. I don't believe the facts exist because I don't believe it's true. So that alcohol consumption comes from somewhere. Now, I am speaking on behalf of the MLBA. I am an off-sale owner. I cannot tell you that every liquor store will see a decline in sales. I will have to be perfectly frank. Some liquor stores will see an increase in sales. Some will not. But where I know you're going to see a decrease in sales is somewhere, right? You're either going to see it at the bars and the restaurants where people substitute the higher-priced per-drink items for lower-priced retail. You'll see it either there or you'll see it in maybe some border town spots will benefit, though we don't know that for a fact. Maybe they won't. Maybe they will. Maybe the bigger operators, maybe the stores that are grossing $5-10 million. Well, there aren't many grossing 10, but there are some grossing 5. There are some that are definitely grossing 10 or more. Maybe they'll be able to withstand this. How many of the mom and pops? There are 1,300 and change liquor stores out there. 1,300 in the state. Now, I can tell you, these aren't all doing much more than maybe they're doing 500,000, 600,000. They're the ones who are going to get hurt. That's what I'm talking about. When you open up the market to these anything-goes rules, you sacrifice small, family-owned businesses at the altar of free market principles. This is the question. So somebody somewhere, some small liquor stores, some bars and taverns, some restaurants are going to see a reduction in their sales. You can say this is all free market, but the fact is there is availability of the product. The consumer is not getting harmed. I can understand, absolutely. If you ask a person, oh, should you be able to buy liquor on Sundays? Well, of course they're going to say, yeah. Of course they're going to say that because it seems so sensible. But the job of the Capitol is to think about these impacts more than the person on the street does. That's what I'm trying to explain.
Okay, I want to move on to the other testifiers, but I would say one quick thing, Senator Jungbar, is a better choice of words might have been that you upset some people.
Yes,
I have sensitive ears, and
and I do apologize. Right when it came out of my mouth, I realized that was a backyard when you're working on your car kind of statement.
Understand.
So I apologize for that.
Okay, if you had a follow up, and then I want to make sure I get the other testifiers.
A quick follow up. I guess I'm not really buying the argument that you have to stay open. When I had a business, real estate, we didn't do business on Sundays in real estate, if you can imagine that. But my quick follow-up is there a compromise to help the people that think they're hurt on the border towns or, snowmobile trails and people transitioning through that think they need to have those sales? Is there any compromise from the MLB?
MLBA? Well, okay. I'm only a member. I can't speak for the whole organization. But I can just think back to the piecemeal approach that was the smoking ban in this state, and it was an abject disaster. It was absolutely the worst possible way this could have ever been done, and it caused more harm to more businesses by doing it piecemeal, city by city, than if the state had just pulled the Band-Aid off and made a single change. So I would say this is one of those situations where you would see additional harm. That could be even worse than changing the law once and for all. I just don't know why. I guess it's an honest disagreement about the facts here. I would say, again, we know our businesses better than anybody else in the state, and I feel confident saying that. We know our businesses better than anyone. The fact that, the vast majority of us, I guarantee you, you've got people, some group, that will always argue that they want something, they think there's an opportunity, but the vast majority are opposed to this. Are we all wrong? Have we missed something? I mean, we are experts on our business. So I just really want you to think long and hard about this when there's absolutely no harm to anybody with the status quo, and there's a risk if you change it. That's what you have to think about.
Okay.
Your decisions make a difference.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. I want to make sure we get the other testifiers in. So, Ms. Woods, if you would please introduce yourself.
Sure. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Candace Woods. I'm the manager of the Hutchinson Municipal Liquor Store. I'm here today representing approximately 250 municipal liquor stores across the state of Minnesota to ask you to oppose this bill. I'm not asking you to oppose this bill because I don't want to work on Sunday. I mean, I recognize that I am a city employee, and that's often an issue. We don't want to work. But working on Sunday is not an issue. We would do anything necessary to increase the business within the city of Hutchinson to be able to increase the profits that we can pass on to our city. Let me explain why I ask you to oppose this bill. First of all, I do believe that the introduction of Sunday sales will spread the sales that we have in Hutchinson across 7 days. The sales that we normally are realizing in 6 days, we would realize in 7 days. And, of course, there's a finite amount of alcohol that's going to be sold, as many have said before me, and I don't see that changing Sunday sales is going to increase that amount. The main concern that we have as municipal liquor stores is that this is going to increase our expenses. We are obviously sometimes, not in Hutchinson, but in many of our stores, we have union employees. And so on Sundays, our expenses will be increased by that fact that we will have to pay overtime and additional union-type wages. Right now, the profits from the liquor store that I run help keep the property taxes down in Hutchinson. If there are fewer profits, then there's a chance that those property taxes would have to go up. And I can tell you from Hutchinson's perspective that we are under more and more pressure every day to provide income to our city. In 2009, the liquor store transferred $348,000 to the Hutchinson City's general fund. And since then, due to losses in LGA and other expenses, other problems that are happening within our city, the city has asked that we increase our profitability. In order to do so, we have taken a number of measures. We've cut a number of expenses, including the fact that we have laid off 2 full-time employees, so that this year we can transfer $451,000 to the City of Hutchinson General Fund. Last year, in Hutchinson, our sales increased by just 0.4%. That's less than 0.5%. We're concerned that this decrease is going to, or this next year, that we're going to see even more of a decrease, as we are, I'm sure you're all aware, losing an estimated 600 jobs in Hutchinson because of the plans of Hutchinson Technologies. If we're open on Sunday, I calculate that our expenses for the year for that additional day of being open will be approximately $60,000. In order to recoup that $60,000, we have to increase our sales by more than $600,000. The net profit for the city of Hutchinson out of the municipal liquor store last year was 9.2%, which is actually a very good net profit. But we would require an increase of more than 12% in our sales in 2011, or when this bill would be in effect. It would take more than a 12% increase in our sales to recoup the cost of being open on Sunday. Clearly, we don't expect a 12% increase in our sales in Hutchinson. And as a result, we would have to transfer less profit to our city. Now, some people say we wouldn't have to be open. I understand that. But the city of Hutchinson runs a $5.1 million liquor store. We do this by being extremely competitive. We have many programs in place to compete with those who are in Minneapolis, in St. Cloud, Wilmer. We compete with many areas. One of the programs that we have in place is called Ad Match Monday, so that every Monday our consumers can bring in ads from any newspaper within a 90-mile radius, and we will match those prices. Obviously, we would not do that if we did not think we had to compete. One of the reasons that we do the Ad Match Monday is because we want to keep our customers loyal to our store, to keep the traffic pattern coming to our store. And if we decided to close on Sunday and people occasionally did stop in different stores, we risk losing them as our customers. That's not something that we will take the risk of doing. We would choose always to be open as much as possible to keep that customer happy. Consequently, in the end, we would choose to lose the money, to lose the profit, and keep our customers, and that would impact the city's financials. Finally, I want to discuss the potential public safety impact. I have two studies that can be distributed. Both are from the state of New Mexico. And these studies indicate that alcohol-related crash incidents went up in a manner that was attributable to the introduction of Sunday sales. I know that we work closely, and all municipal liquor stores work closely with our police departments, and I know of no police department with the municipal liquor store that is in favor of Sunday sales. One other thing I'd like to mention in listening to Tom Hansen from the Distilled Spirits Council. The Distilled Spirits Council sees the product that we sell as a commodity, and their purpose is to increase the sales of that commodity. And I understand and appreciate that. That's what I try to do every day also. But I also play a role in my city of controlling the sale of alcohol. We take that very seriously. The increase of the sale of alcohol can and will contribute to an increase in our law enforcement costs. And again, that's an impact on our city. I thank you for your time in listening today, and I urge you to oppose this bill.
Thank you, Ms. Woods. Mr. Reynoso from the Minnesota Teamsters is next on the list. Welcome, Mr. Reynoso.
Morning, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Edward Reynoso. I'm the political director for Teamsters Joint Council 32. We represent in excess of 62,000 members in the state of Minnesota, Iowa, North and South Dakota. I come to testify in opposition of Senate File 197. Now, I believe that we've also offered a letter of opposition, and I'm hoping every one of you had the opportunity to read it. You know, Sunday sales, it's an issue much more than just deciding whether a liquor store should be open on Sundays. It's a choice of determining if workers have enjoyed one day off a week to spend time with their family or to enjoy the ability to practice their faith will lose the ability to do so. It has been enjoyed for over 70 years. The Sunday sales also comes down to a decision to make an already complicated teetering profit margin for many store owners. Now, this will increase their overhead, yet in most cases, the same amount of product will be sold over a 7-day period rather than 6. You know, Sunday sales, as the representative from Hutchison just spoke about, you know, there's going to be an increased overhead to municipal liquor stores, and it's something that I believe everybody has to understand. You know, to increase the cost on municipal liquor stores, that is so vitally important right now with the loss of LGA, would be a detriment to many of these municipal liquor stores that turn that profit to provide for those essential services that have been lost or potentially lost because of the loss of LGA. These essential services are needed for our communities, and to cut into them more would just hurt our communities even more. You know, Sunday sales, you know, to some of you may look as possible taxable income that may come to our state. And there's no doubt about it, our state desperately needs that added income to fill that big, giant budget gap. Most recent studies have shown that Sunday sales have arguably shown an increase in drunk driving arrests, accidents, and fatalities. The New Mexico study, if you have an opportunity to read it, specifically notes on those issues. Any economic gains made by a few liquor store owners would be offset by the economic losses that would occur on a much greater scale and affect a larger number of individuals. The convenience of liquor store owners opening on Sundays to provide liquor comes at a cost that Minnesota simply cannot afford. Make no mistake, if we as a state want to fill this budget gap, Sunday liquor sales is not going to fill this gap. It will hurt Teamster members, their families, our communities, and most definitely our citizens that travel our roads. The Teamsters Union and all of the labor community is committed to working with this legislature to find creative ways to fill this budget gap without hurting people. We challenge all of our legislators, and we ask that you all think in that same way. We ask that you vote no on Senate File 197. And our members, our general public, and everybody is depending on you to do the right thing. Now, I just wanted to comment on the issue of our drivers, whether they'd have to work an extra day. Well, we have one liquor store owner saying that they wouldn't have to work an extra day because they aren't going to have deliveries on the weekends. We have to be cognizant that this industry works on a cash basis. The fact that in order for a liquor store to receive liquor products such as beer, they have to pay as it's delivered. Now, if they have an extra day to sell this product, they're going to want an extra day of delivery. And the fact is because they'll be able to float their inventory. The object to many small businesses and large businesses is to have the least amount of inventory possible that you need to make a profit. These liquor store owners no doubt will look for that extra day of delivery. And these are people that have enjoyed these days off to practice their faith or enjoyed the time off with their families. And we ask that you really consider voting no on this issue. And we'd really appreciate your support. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Reynolds. So, Senator Bonhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Reynolds, thank you for being here, and I certainly respect the Teamsters' position and that they do want to preserve their ability to be with their family and practice their faith on Sundays. Is there not another way to accomplish that? For example, couldn't there be a surcharge on Sunday deliveries so that they would provide incentives to make sure it doesn't spill onto Sunday, so that, in fact, you give a negative incentive to not have those same-day deliveries?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bonhoff, you know, one of the things that, you know, we kind of asked around is a possibility of an amendment to this legislation that would ban weekend sales. I'm sorry, weekend deliveries. I don't believe that would get too much support. Bottom line, you know, I believe it's not only us as delivery drivers that don't want to deliver the product. It's also, as you've heard testimony, that the vast majority of these businesses, these small businesses that have these liquor stores, don't want. The impact to this business is going to be huge. And, you know, people can say that, well, you don't have to open on Sunday. But if you don't, you are going to lose your market share. You are going to lose some product that would have been bought on Saturday. People are not going to go on Saturday to buy their liquor. They're going to go on Sunday. So I believe that to have an amendment like that would be fantastic, but I don't know what type of support it would gain.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I'll be quick.
Necessary follow-up. I'm watching the clock.
Okay, thank you. I'll be very quick. I just want you to know, yes. I didn't suggest an amendment. I was suggesting a surcharge on Sunday sales, just like if you have a plumber come to your home on Sunday, or there's many different services where you really pay for that Sunday service, and you think twice before you make it. So just something to consider.
Okay. And if I could move to Mr. Campo from the Tavern League. And if you could please be brief, and I apologize, we're running up against the clock, and if you could offer up some new information for us. Welcome.
Thank you. Okay, my name is Dan Campo. I represent the Minnesota Tavern League, as well as operate Southlandale Liquors in Minneapolis. I'm going to give you a little different information. I think everybody else covered the things pretty well. In 1991, I spent a year operating a store in Duluth. Now, let me talk about business models, because it has been talked about a little bit here. The business model has always been predicated on no Sunday sales. We don't have that ability. It's always been predicated on that. The numbers have worked out the same. The businesses in border towns are not specifically losing money because of people going to Wisconsin. They are quite simply operating within the business model they have always striven to and achieved. And that, I think, is a very important point when we talk about these things, that this is not about loss of business. This is about trying to find other ways of doing things, and this business model of increasing sales on, or changing it so we can allow to sell on Sundays, increases our overhead and does things negatively. And I think some of the other testifiers have already talked about that. Now, I put back on my hat away from the Tavern League and those things. Members, I operate one of the top 8 largest volume liquor stores in the state right now. We were voted as the Twin Cities best liquor store last year. We're a very successful business. I can tell you that Sunday sales are not going to be of help to us. That if you take the numbers and let's go with, for example, the idea of 6% in Colorado. I'm very familiar with Colorado. I lived there for 10 years. I worked in and among the industry, and I was there back there talking to stores right now. There's a big push among liquor stores to try and repeal that law, to change Sunday back, because what they are seeing is that any revenues that they're gaining are not offsetting the cost, and it is a problem. And these are small business owners. Many of them are being forced to work Sundays. I won't be in that position. I have other managers that will unfortunately be taking that position and that duty. I will have to hire new staff, but I won't have to work as many Sundays as some of the small stores, so you really are affecting the small stores. The other thing is these fiscal notes. Just to put it in perspective of what we've talked about, the fiscal notes have been discussed at, and let's just take the easy number of $10 million. At $10 million in increased revenue, that means that there have to be over 30 stores the size of Southlandale Liquors selling more on our busiest day of the year ever, every Sunday, in order to make that fiscal note occur. So when we talk about what really is the difference here, I just don't see it. So the only other thing that I had was, well, actually, we'll leave that one. I think France 44 has covered that fairly well. So I would stand for any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Campbell? Okay, see you then. Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
At this time, that was the list of folks who had called in ahead of time here or on their list here. Is there anybody else in the audience? Yes, sir. You come on up. If anyone wants to speak in opposition to or in favor of, and then we'll have Senator Reinert step back up. I think we're going to have arrest amendments, and then I'd like to vote on the bill, and I'd like to move that along.
Session's at noon.
So session is at noon, members. Yes, please identify yourself for the record.
My name is August Berkshire, and I'm the president of Minnesota Atheists. Mr. Chairman, committee members, thank you for giving me this opportunity. A Minnesota Atheist takes no position on whether or not people should drink alcohol, and furthermore, we take no position in general on when stores should be open. However, we oppose government laws that favor one religion over another religion, as well as government laws that favor religion over non-religion. And it's for this reason that I'm here today. The banning of alcohol sales on certain days comes from old blue laws whose impetus was to favor Christianity. Sunday is the Christian Sabbath day, and Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, and Christmas Day are viewed by Christians as days when their God should receive special attention. The idea and purpose behind the blue law in question today was to take away a choice from citizens to purchase alcohol in certain locations on certain days, in hopes that people would be less distracted by demon rum and more motivated to attend Christian churches on those days. In his book, Blue Laws, The History, Economics, and Politics of Sunday Closing Law, author David Leban notes that blue laws also protected the business interests of Christians by eliminating competition on their day of worship. So these days were hardly selected at random when the ban was first put into place. The fact that today the argument seems to revolve mostly around economics should not obscure the original religious intent of the law. In other words, this law should never have been passed in the first place. Another way to look at it is, if no ban currently existed, would the legislature consider instituting one today? The proposed bill is a good start towards ending government favoritism for a particular religion. However, it doesn't go quite far enough. Under this bill, Christmas remains singled out as the one day each year that liquor stores would not be allowed to sell liquor. This favors a Christian holiday over Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, and other religious holidays, and over atheism, which has no official holidays at all. We therefore ask the legislature to treat alcohol even-handedly and not maintain a law that favors one specific religion. Mr. Chairman, committee members, thank you.
Thank you. Other testimony? Okay, well, if you would step up to the front there, and we'll just get in line. Mr. Pritchard, if you could, please make your comments brief because we are running out of time.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Tom Pritchard, President of the Minnesota Family Council, and I would speak in opposition to the bill. And I just make two quick points, and they've been alluded to. One is I think there are significant social costs that need to be looked at, and I think expanding access to alcohol will result in additional social costs, and I think you can see that from a study that was mentioned that was done of the repeal of the Sunday sales ban in New Mexico, where over a five-year period, it resulted in a 29% increase in accidents, crashes, and a 42% increase in fatalities. So I think there is a social cost that comes from expanding the access. So I think that's a legitimate thing to consider. And I think the other factor is I think there is a quality of life issue. I think a day off isn't an antiquated notion, and it doesn't necessarily have to be even rooted in a religious tradition, but I think it's just a very human thing. It's refreshing, frankly, to hear that a lot of businesses don't want to be open on Sunday, and so I think that's a positive. I think it's a day to spend a day off with one's family and friends, and I think that's a healthy thing for the community. In fact, I think it makes us all more productive. So I think those are a couple other reasons to look at beyond just the economics. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pritchard.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chair, my name is Colin Meinhardt. I own the Main Street Grill in Alden, Minnesota, which is 12 miles north of the Iowa border. Just a couple points that I wanted to make. Number one, we're talking about selling alcohol here. We're not selling electronics or doing banking. This is something that's real serious, and about, as they spoke, Candace spoke earlier about controlling the sale of alcohol. So that's quality of life issues, controlling the sale of alcohol. And the other point that I would like to make, too, is will there be city referendums? I have a combination store in Alden, and just this past election cycle, they passed Sunday liquor by a majority vote. So before a bar could be opened on Sunday, the community had to approve it. So now we're talking about passing a law that's just going to say everybody's going to get it and the liquor store owner gets to choose, not the community. So this is inconsistent in how that we're going to present this bill also. And I also just want to mention that I am a past vice president of the American Beverage Licensees, which is a national trade association. And I have friends in the liquor store business throughout the country where this has happened. And I can assure you, and I can provide you names of folks that will tell you that all this does is take six days of sale and spread it into seven. And I can confirm that. So I would just ask you to oppose this. The other thing, the discus revenue, if we're going to get $7 to $10 million in more tax revenue, does that mean that we want to create another $50 to $100 million in alcohol sales? Is that what we want to do in Minnesota, to be known as we got all the booze? Let's let Wisconsin keep that title. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, with that, if Senator Reinert would take the front of the table, and let's do this, members. Right now, Senator Rest, did you want to offer your amendment?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and
Mr. Chairman, I would move that to strike the language on line 1.12, which would mean that there would be the opportunity for a business to decide to be open 365 days of the year and not give special attention to any one day, regardless of the reason. I think it's inconsistent with the arguments that Senator Reinert has made.
Okay. And Senator Rest, also, I think as part of that amendment, we'd have to renumber, restructure the as
Mr.
needed.
Stang,
we'll just
can
instructions
the
to the revisor on that if your amendment should pass. And Senator Rest, I'll ask Senator Reinert for his opinion in a moment, but I hear your point on the consistency, and I support your amendment.
Thank you.
Senator Reinert, if you could offer your take on Senator Rest's amendment for us.
Mr. Chair, I'm open to the pleasure of the committee. I don't have a strong feeling on that.
Okay. Does anybody have any discussion on the Rest amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the Rest amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
No.
A.
No.
And the motion prevails, and the amendment is adopted. Senator Reinert, we're on the main bill. If you could wrap up with any closing comments, and then we'll take a vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I know we have floor coming quickly, so I'll try and be brief. First of all, I want to thank you and the members of the committee for hearing this small, non-controversial bill.
Jeez.
And there's a couple points I just want to make before I wrap up. One is it was sort of alluded to that this was an anti-small business bill. It's being supported by billion-dollar industries. If it is, I haven't heard from them. No billion-dollar industries have been at my door. I would also say that it's pretty easy. You know, every state around us have Sunday sales, and you can go to every state around us and find that the small businesses are still there. Come up to Duluth, and I'll take you over to Superior, and we'll go shop at them. Secondly, on the issue of the municipal stores, again, nothing in this bill precludes anyone, including a municipal store, from closing on a different day, a day that's less profitable. Close on Tuesdays and be open on Sundays if that's where you know your sales are, and that's going to help your municipality, especially when you have a municipal store where no one else can be in competition with you. It's a lot easier argument to make. And the third point that came up in discussion I'll make is on this New Mexico study. The New Mexico study is sort of one of those studies that would be great for the TV show Mythbusters. It's been debunked in a number of different ways, but the two things that really were not controlled for in an academic study, and I'm a college teacher, number one, there were just additional sales on Sunday. So if there's additional volume, there's going to be additional instances of accidents and the like. But secondly, and this is a major factor, during the course of that study, speed limits went up. And speed limits are a major contributor in vehicle accidents. So those are just two factors to consider, and I would point you to the other two studies I gave you, which show just the opposite. But Mr. Chairman, in closing, you know, there's a lot of information. The discus information is out there that shows the increase in sales in the other states, that shows a potential increase in revenue. But I would point you to, at the end of the day, one deciding factor. Yes, we've heard from the industry, but who is not at this table? Consumers, citizens, our constituents. Go out and chat with them. They're the ones who are saying, we would like to have that option, and here's why they're saying it. For the 35 to 54-year-old demographic, Sunday is the second most important shopping day of the week. 43% of those sales fall into the distilled spirits category. Shoppers tend to spend more on Sundays, 21% more than any other day of the week. For that demographic, the 35 to 54-year-old, people that are oftentimes working two jobs, have families, have kids' activities, have the other things, have lives, which sometimes we don't get here in the legislature, Sunday has become the most important shopping day in the American economy. That's who's asking for this. It's not billion-dollar industries. It's not some, you know, nefarious behind-the-curtain sort of power broker. It's folks on the streets. They're the ones that are asking to have this option. So, you know, members, what I would encourage you to do is to be supportive of moving this conversation along. And in closing, I would just offer two stories. One is a conversation I had with one of my local business owners. We talked a lot about retail. This person owns a running store, the Duluth Running Company, and I happen to be on the running company's team. And he said, I don't really understand this. And I said, well, Clint, imagine that the state of Minnesota passed a law that said the Duluth Running Company could not be open on Fridays. And he said, well, that would be terrible. I would hate that. And I said, well, now imagine the state of Minnesota passed a law that said no store that sold running gear could be open on Friday. And he goes, I would love that. That's a day off, and I can take that day off knowing that no one else is going to be open on that day competing against me. And I said, you've just summed the issue up. So, Mr. Chairman, members, thank you for your consideration. I would ask your support in moving this bill forward. There's still a long way to go before Sunday sales would be legal in Minnesota, but passing this committee is a necessary first step. So please help me move this bill forward so we can continue the discussion. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members.
Okay, any final questions? I know, Senator Brown, if you have a brief question.
It's not a question. I'm requesting roll call.
Oh, okay. A roll call has been requested.
Mr. Chairman,
any other questions? Yes, Senator Rest.
Just one question for information. The bill is moving in the other body, Senator Reinert?
The bill has been introduced in the other body. It's not had a hearing yet.
Has not
been? Has been introduced.
Has been introduced, but not heard. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, members.
And Mr. Chairman, to be clear, my motion would be recommended to pass and be referred to the Finance Committee.
As amended.
As amended, thank you.
Okay, so a roll call has been requested. Senator Reinert's motion is that Senate File 197, as amended, be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Finance. The chairman votes aye, and the assistant will take the roll.
Senator Bonoff.
Yes.
Senator Brown.
No.
Senator Chamberlain.
Yes.
Senator Dames.
No.
Senator Gazelka.
No.
Senator Jungbauer.
No.
Senator Cruz.
Yes.
Senator Pappas.
Yes.
I didn't hear it.
Senator Reinert.
Yes.
Senator Rest.
No.
Senator Scheid.
Yes.
Senator Sparks.
No.
Senator Thompson.
Yes.
Senator Vandeveer.
There being 8 votes in favor and 7 against, the motion prevails, and Senate File 197 is re-referred to the Committee on Finance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
This committee is adjourned.
Very funny vote.